Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Los perros esquimales están arriba. Y hoy, los patos de Oregón bow down to Washington.
Welcome back to the Dog Pod, your home for the Big Ten bound Washington Huskies, broadcasting live from the Roanoke Tavern, longest running continually podcast covering UW football. We are here by the fans, for the fans. I'm with Mitch. I'm with Law Dog. We're talking 2023 offense. And stay tuned towards the end. Don't tune this off because we're going to cap this off with an open letter to the Washington State Cougar fans. I'm a little terrified for it. All right, so we're talking offense, man. This offense looked last year number two overall, putting up massive numbers last year. Ryan Grubb, he spurned that Bama offer to come back. Penix, Rome, J-Mac, all deciding to come back. This could be a very, very special year. Let's start with the one place where we have no position battle at all. Still worthy of speaking about. Law Dog, talk to me about that quarterback.
Well, can I just say, let's take a moment to appreciate the man, the myth, the legend, Michael Penix Jr. So let's go back a little bit. 2019, Kalen DeBoer shows up at Indiana. Penix actually completes nearly 69% of his passes and plays in just six games there before his season ended to injury, as we all know. Then DeBoer moves on, but in 2020, his numbers take a little bit of a dip a little bit, but then in 2020, he logs wins over at Indiana over Michigan, Michigan State, and Penn State. Then he gets injured again. And in 2021, the numbers were taking a big dip here. They were much shakier, played in just five games. So we get into 2022. He's battling for the job with Sam Huard, right? We didn't even know he'd be the starter. And then, of course, DeBoer knows what he has, right? Gets the band back together in 2022. We all know what happened. 65% completion percentage, 4,500 yards, 31 TDs against just eight interceptions, and then tacks on another four touchdowns on the ground. Not Caleb Williams' numbers, but pretty damn good. Lowest sack rate in the nation, second team all Pac-12. So what are we looking for in 2023? I don't know that we could sit here like in the last show. We said, hey, this defense has a long way to go up. I don't know that this offense does have a long way to go up. I think the goal needs to be keep Michael Penix on two legs all
that's
season.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
That's what the
nobody
goal needs
to be.
And that lowest sack rate in the nation. We'll get into the offensive line in a sec. But, I mean, that is we're replacing three of those guys on the interior. I think that's going to be the key. And he did come out of a game against Arizona State. I was at the game. Oh no. You know. And Demo actually came in. So I'm going to take a moment to transition to Demo. Yes, we're not in a position battle, BT. But I think we need to acknowledge that he's actually looked pretty good.
Him as a backup.
Yeah, with some new coaches behind him, right? He looked all right in 2022. Let's go back, though, a little bit. 2020, he was actually 60% passing. Yeah. And he had four touchdowns and three interceptions. All three of those interceptions were in the first half of that Utah game in the empty Husky Stadium. Okay. And as a redshirt freshman. And we were optimistic about him going into 2021. We all know it was bad. It was terrible. John Don, 12 interceptions. He led the conference in interceptions. Three interceptions in that Montana game.
Eesh.
So we all know it was a bad season, but I look at it and go, hey, I am feeling actually pretty good about him. He's a fifth-year junior now in this program. If he needs to play a game or if he needs to get some meaningful action, I don't feel as apprehensive about that as I maybe would have a year ago. I think with some good coaching, and he's got a great shot to be the starter again next year. So I think this position is pretty well-stocked, and if you look at John Wilner's predictions for the season, this UW quarterback room is even better than the USC quarterback with reigning Heisman Trophy winner, specifically because they have a seasoned backup. So, yes, I think we have a lot to look forward to. I'm excited. But also, keep this guy healthy so he can put up 40 points again.
I totally agree. I put a lot of weight behind Wilner and the Pac-12 hotline. He does a really good job rating the rooms based on, look, it's pretty rare to keep a guy 100% healthy the whole season. If you've got a seasoned veteran who knows the offense, who has a coach's mind, who specifically chose to come back because he could learn under Ryan Grubb, I'll take that.
Yeah, that's right. Even if he has to come in for a couple plays, I totally agree. This is going to be the year of the Penix.
Yeah, I mean, pumped. I think, you know, it's tough that you're in a conference with the reigning Heisman Trophy winner.
That's
you
right.
got Bo Nix, who's getting billboards put up all over the country, you know. And so, I mean, you know, that's not kind of UW's style.
It's okay.
But we put a lot of quarterbacks with the Washington uniform have been playing on Sundays, and he'll be the next one of them.
Hey, Phil, if you want to spend that sweatshop money on billboards, that's fine by me.
Go for it.
I ideally put in a part of New York that actually like humans live in, but nice work though, buddy. Good way to spend. All right. So, hey, that's our quarterback. Mitch, who's he passing to, buddy?
Oh, wow. Okay, guys, is this an exciting receiver room or what? All right.
Embarrassment
so
of riches.
Look at this. Roma Dunze, first team preseason All-American. J-Mac right behind him. The other day they had an ESPN show ranking top receivers. It was Marvin Harrison Jr., Rome, Emeka, J-Mac.
Oh, pretty good.
One, two, three, four. Pretty solid. All right.
Could have had three of those guys.
I was just going to say.
Three of those guys. Three of those. Oh, okay.
You can't even imagine.
Touche. And then Jalen Polk's, no?
JP.
Slouch, put him right behind him. Then, guys, apparently, Jeremy Bernard is looking great in camp. He's looking solid. And Denzel Boston apparently is a beast right behind those guys. They are stacked at receiver. Oh, my gosh. So much opportunity for Penix to just hopefully light up. Who are you going to cover? Are you going to double team somebody?
Well, that's what they were able to do last year, right? I mean, it you know, you think the ball's going here. Actually, we're going to put it over here. And when you have all those weapons, it enables a guy like Ryan Grubb to draw up whatever. Hey, it's third and 17. We need to go down the playbook a little, but we've got Jalen Polk to
make Jalen Polk a hero of the game against Oregon.
Yeah. And here is the masterpiece behind this. You have Ryan Grubb not going to Alabama, coming back to play with all of these weapons. Can you imagine how much fun they're having in that wide receiver room and that those offensive meetings to say, okay, they're going to do this, we're going to do that. And, like, just all the machinations of stuff going on in there. It's going to be awesome.
The rumors are that Rome is now the fastest player on the team.
Yeah,
and that he's looking like every bit of a first-round NFL receiver. So, hey, we've got a lot of reasons to be optimistic. Just keep him on 2 feet.
Yep.
We had a chance to meet JP this summer, and he told us a story about that play that he scored on against Oregon, that they had dialed that up all week. They're going to come out in this coverage, and this is the play that we're going to run, and we're going to score. And so much he could come up on the line and go, we're scoring.
But the fact that they're all on the same page.
And they're all on the same page.
Right?
They
and
know.
They see that. Like, they recognize it.
And that was year one.
That's year one.
As soon as we see this coverage, we're scoring. Like, at some point, they're going to show us this look, and we're scoring. Unreal. Mitch, you got to love it, but, hey, tight ends as well, man. How about those tight ends? Because big piece of the offense.
I'm excited about, right? So Jack Westover has been around. He's your rock that is very athletic. I think he's underrated. Devin Culp, you know, look, like Devin Culp's had his ups and downs, right? 2 years ago in that key Oregon game, had that drop on fourth down, which was just absolutely brutal. Totally bounced back last year. I don't know if you guys know this. He returned kicks for G Prep.
I did know that, and it's amazing to watch.
He is super athletic, and he looks like he's really put in the work. Super excited what he does. Then look at the guys behind him. Josh Cuevas is really interesting. If he could be an X factor this year, he's basically another receiver.
Yeah.
Right? Who could really get out there, make some plays. I really like this tight end room. I think they have an opportunity again. I think they're underrated. It's a place in the team that could be an upgrade this year over last year because I think just Westover and Culp are going to get better. And then you bring in somebody like Cuevas with his athleticism. Like, again, I think this is an upgraded room from last year, like we were talking about last week on our defense show.
They had a nice end of the season, the tight ends and the Alamo Bowl. And, yeah, I agree with Mitch. I think, you know, you just start to – defense starts to focus on our outside guys, and, you know, Grubb wants to call one up over the middle with one of these tight ends, we got some playmakers.
I worry about next year. We'll get to next year at some point. But you lose Jack. You lose Devin. Devin. Let's see what we have.
But then again, I mean, like, let's see what we do in the transfer portal. Yeah. We keep talking about that. Ryan Otten sounds like he's been banged up a little bit. Yeah. Love to see him. He's got it. He'll be fine.
Quavis will be here.
And then who's it? Quentin Moore.
Quentin Moore.
That we don't talk too much about. Yep. But like, hopefully, you know, he's got some depth there too. Maybe he gets a shot, opportunity to shine a little bit.
Let's talk about next year. Next year, BT. This is August. We're all about this year, baby. Just
Debbie Downer here in the corner. Speaking of that, man, I hate to say this, but look, running back group. Why can't we have nice things, man? I mean, we lost Wayne Tualapapa. I mean, that hurts so much. Not only like what he did, obviously, from a runner, pass catcher, but from a pass blocker, and just when we thought we knew, man, Cam Davis. Like that's the heir apparent and out for the season. Lower leg injury. We probably assume it's a knee injury, but that's going to keep him out for the year. And you got to think, boy, we hope he comes back next year healthy. That one is really tough. And it's interesting of like you hear from Husky Nation, and I think the sort of arrogant thing you want to say is no big deal because we're stacked back there. I'm of the opinion that it's a big deal. It's a big deal because I was expecting a huge year for Cam Davis this year. So let's talk about who we have left, and somebody's got to step up. Dylan Johnson, the Mississippi State transfer. Like, this is the guy who I think like now people are really looking towards. Very sturdy at Mississippi State, 1,200 yards on the ground, 854 in the air. He didn't play a lot in the beginning of summer camp and fall camp, but now he's playing a lot, and now, I mean, this really is his position. Lots of talk about Will Nixon last year and like the transfer from Nebraska. I don't know, like he's getting great reps, but an unknown commodity. Daniel Nagata, right? Could that be one of the guys? Like he's mostly taking second terms reps. And then the only other thing is like what I'm hearing is a completely healthy for a long time, for the first time in a long time, is Dick Newton. Could this be a Richard Newton renaissance? Because there have been moments where, like, he was the most divisive character on the team because half of Husky Nation was like, why aren't we giving Richard Newton the ball every freaking rep? Because he'd rip off, like, unstoppable 6 yards, 6 yards, 6 yards. And then there was times where he couldn't stay healthy and really struggled as well. Like, not enough shiftiness. But
he's your leading returning rusher from a year ago.
That's right.
Because
that's right.
You're losing 1,400 yards and 24 touchdowns of production between Cam Davis and Tualapapa. Richard Newton had 216 yards. That's your leading returning rusher.
And when Cam went down the last time, Alamo Bowl, who stepped up as the second to back up Tualapapa?
Richard Newton.
That's who stepped up. Like, I don't know. I mean, that's who you have left in the stable. Tybo Rogers, so some time off, violating team rules or whatever, but there's a thought that he's going to come back and play, and he does look good. But
what do you think of Daniel Nagata?
Yeah, Daniel Nagata, like he said, he could be there. Obviously, struggled with health at Arizona State, but there was times that he showed out. But, like, that could be, I look at him as, like, potentially a third option down there. But I mean, we've seen he's a proven commodity in the Pac-12.
Yeah, I think we're going to a committee. Right.
Last
going into last year, we were like, committee. We don't know who's going to take the ball. Tualapapa kind of ends up being your guy, but there was a lot of mixing. Now it looked like Cam Davis was going to kind of take that role, and now I think we're back to I could see four or five guys getting carries in the first few games.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, but like one of those guys could pop, right? Like we didn't think Cam was going to pop last year, and he kind of did. You know, Wayne was a great revelation. I think he really kind of stepped up.
As the year went on, too.
Yeah, he got stronger, yeah. Right? I, you know, guys, I've got a dark horse. I think Daniel Nagata, like, I think he's got it.
I hope so.
I think he could be the X factor here. That I think
if anyone runs away with this job, that's going to be good news.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No, I would agree. I mean, I'll just say, I mean, I hate to be the naysayer here, but I was the one where I think the comment that no big deal for him, not a big deal for Husky Nation, to me is a little bit arrogant. And that to me, like, it is a very big loss. Now, the weapons that you talked about, quarterback and wide receiver, it's not as big of a deal as an offense that really relies on the ground. But the only place that I saw the offense struggle last year was in the red zone when things bunched up a little bit and your route tree and other things become a little bit more limited and where you needed a guy who could get you that. Look, hey, it's 3rd and 3. Do we have someone we could just rely on to get that 4 yards? And that's the person we need.
And then maybe that argues towards Richard Newton have a big year.
That's
this
right.
Year.
Oh, gosh. I would just love to see it. Love to see it. Look, and the play of that running back is going to be most determined by the offensive line. We should talk a little bit about
the Hog Mollies.
The Hog Mollies. Let's talk about the offensive line. What can Scott Huff do with our guys down there? So here we go. Scott Huff, the only coach that comes back after losing, I mean, from and comes back to the Huskies with Kalen DeBoer after losing. I mean, look back. Wattenberg, Jackson Curtin, Corey Luciano, Henry Bainavalu, big name. So let's see. The center we know, Mateo Mele. That's our center this year. This is Teo's job, following Nick Harris, Luke Wattenberg, others, and great names. The guards, I think we know. Nate Kaleppo out of Garfield, the left guard. Julius Boello, that's who it is. Garen Hatchett, that's our backup. Guard Memel are out for the season, right? So depth, already a little bit of a concern. We look at the tackles. I love Troy Faiotanu, right? 6'4", great feet. That could be the guy. Roger Rosengartner on the other side, like, only gave up 5 sacks. Like, that last year, this has protecting the lefty Penix. So that side of the line is really, really critical on that right side. So look,
I'm kind of just on Rosengarten for a sec. I've been unpleasantly surprised at how little attention he's gotten and how few of the All-American teams and that kind of watch lists and stuff like that. He had a monster year protecting Penix's blindside last year, and I feel like he doesn't get his due. And Faiotanu is a great athlete, and he'll be a great NFL player, but I feel like Rosengarten should get a little bit more respect. And with those two guys, I mean, this program has always been able to crank out guards and interior guys when we've needed to. But with those two guys anchoring, it's like you're bringing back more than just two starters, in my opinion.
I totally agree. It's like we're getting back into our heyday a little bit of maulers, right? Which is why I'm the most excited about Kaleppo, all right? This was a big recruit, guys. And he was on the bandwagon guys. And he stuck around in the program, didn't start his first couple of years, right? Now it's his turn. And I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to seeing what he does with it.
What if I told you that Troy Faiotanu at 6'4 is the shortest of those offensive linemen that you just named, BT? The rest of them are 6'6", 6'6", 6'6", and then Bulow, who is 6'8". Who's had an up and down career, right? Was a starter, had it taken away. Now he's back. I believe he's a fourth or fifth year junior now. So a lot of these guys have been in the program 4 or 5 years. I expect not a lot of drop off. I know that's kind of hard to say, but because we've had such a great offensive line, you know, in 2020 and then also last year. 2021 is a little bit of an aberration, but I expect big things, even though we're turning over quite a bit this year.
I mean, those are massive humans. So I don't know if you guys heard the story about how Penix takes his offensive line out to El Gaucho, the whole offensive line, and they put down 2 T-bones. 2.
Yikes.
Each.
That was not a pre-NIL meal in any way.
I could eat a porterhouse when I was 20, Mitch.
Yeah. Beast, man. But look, we're going to need, obviously, I mean, that not only to get the running game, but just to protect Penix. You want to talk about one of the most important units here? That's it. But that's our offense, man. I mean, look, historic numbers that they put up last year. And this is going to be a fun, fun offense to watch this year.
For sure.
All right, so that's our offense. We're going to rely on them. Hey, before we tune out, we told you, stick around. The Pac-4 that's going to be left. Woo! Cal, Stanford, they may find a home. We're hearing rumors. Oregon State, our friends down in Corvallis, common enemy, brothers. But Wazoo, the Cougs, there's some drama here, and our own Law Dog has some thoughts.
So I just want to start by saying everything we said on the episode, the emergency episode, right, is true. Nobody wanted the Pac-12 to, like, wither into ashes and just, like, drift away in the wind, right? But that's what's happening. I think what's been really tough for me over the last 3 weeks is watching the blame rain down specifically on UW when there's so many enemies to blame here that it's been driving me a little bit crazy. So I did write an open letter. This is an open letter to Cougar fans and Cougar Nation everywhere. Dear Cougs, this is a message from your big brother. Sometimes families go through turmoil and change. Sometimes brothers go off to college, and sometimes mom and dad fight so much that they have to go live in separate homes. It's sad when that happens, but not every family can be one big happy collection of drunk frat boys falling out of windows and the party girls that chase them around campus clinging to a can of Bush Light. No one wants our families to be divided. Our family has enjoyed a century-long tradition of competing on the same fields as you, in the same gymnasiums, and in the classroom. But there comes a time when we both get to the age that mommy can't make us let you tag along anymore. There's no easy way to say this, but you have spent a lifetime holding us back. In the cutthroat world of multi-million dollar media rights contracts, it's every man, woman, and child for themselves. But it's been disappointing and enlightening to see your prominent alumni come out and crucify our institution over the last 3 weeks while the ashes of the Pac-12 scatter in the wind. Eric Johnson of Como penned a heartfelt letter, mostly bashing us. Most of your vocal alumni lay the blame for the dissolution of the Pac-9 entirely at our feet. Many of them say things like, I didn't think I could hate UW anymore, but it turns out I can. Even your regents can't control themselves. It's been an ugly 3 weeks. Breaking up families is hard. No one would choose this outcome over a successful, thriving Pac-12 with all of its members intact. But as we all know, that ship sailed last July when our Southern California counterparts left for greener pastures. If you want to blame someone for your demise, I suggest you start with them. They left us all on a vessel that was adrift at sea, taking on water with every passing day. For the next 13 months, George Klyavkov tried to land a deal that would keep our extended family together, but even our Rocky Mountain friends knew it was a sham, and they left too. If you want to blame someone for the instability of our family over the last year, I suggest you start with them. In the end, none of that is going to be good enough for you, and it never will be. You're mad about the family breaking apart, and you have every right to be. But you want us to be the enemy, even though we never have been. You want us to take the blame, even though you would have done exactly what we did if you're given the chance. You want this to be our fault, because to you, it always is. But from one brother to another, I will just say, I love being your big brother, and I don't want to say goodbye. But if being in this family means I have to be the pincushion for your lifelong grievances and irrational anger, then maybe a fresh start with a new family is exactly what we both need. I don't want to take you to the playground to play with my friends just because mom doesn't want you to mope around the house anymore. Sincerely, Law Dog.
Wow. Okay. That was incredible. Amazing sign off. That's incredible.
I mean, look, can I just add an addendum to that? I mean, of course we're all feeling, we understand, I think we empathize with the pain that they're feeling right now.
Oh, it's horrible.
I just think, when I hear it all directed at us, I just think that's so kooky. It's so kooky to turn all their fire on us when there's a million reasons this thing fell apart. We were just looking for a lifeboat. So to me, that's where this comes from. It comes from a place, I do love them in my own way. But I think it's probably just for the best that we all kind of go our separate ways.
It may be, and it's I mean, what a rivalry it's been, but incredible. Nice work, Law Dog.
I mean, we might just need to have a couple holidays separate.
No gifts this year.
No gifts this year. We'll figure out the visitation schedule later. Hey, if you have, I'll just cap this off real quick. If anyone else has a favorite Wazoo story at the table, here's the time to share it. And I'll share. This is one of my favorites. It's absolutely savage. One of our longtime listeners, Long Tran, if you're listening, and I don't know if it was intended or just how it came out, but one of our neighbors who is, you know, diehard Go Cougs, met my wife at Wazoo. We're flying the flag. You know, we are rah, rah, rah. Like, we're big Coug family. Got the Go Cougs last night, everything. The season, hey, you know, the Cougs looking good this year. We got a quarterback, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then Long goes, man, you know, look, I get the whole Go Cougs thing, but, like, you don't want your son to actually go there, do you? I mean, for real. You don't really. And like, awkward. It was like, conversation stops. And he's like, oh, you know, no, it's pretty good school. He goes, no, I get it. I mean, again, Go Cougs, right? I get that. But, like, you don't really want your kids to go, like if they actually go to college there, you're going to be doubles down on it to a point where, like, I was like, I don't know if you meant to be that mean, but it was one of the most savage things I've ever heard.
I think I honestly have a place in my heart where I love the Cougs. And
100%.
You know, and I have a lot of Coug friends and family and whatnot. And it's just, you know, nobody wants them to die.
No.
But when we get into self-preservation mode, that's what it is.
It totally. This is not Oregon. This is the friendly rivalry that we love. And like, as long as if they would change their slogan to Wazoo because math is like hard, that's the one I wanted for a long time. I'd feel real. You're real happy about that.
They're an ag school. No, there's anyway, BT.
Look, there's a pre-algebra story that struggled behind every Wazoo applicant, but it has been incredible. And I'll tell you what, this Apple Cup this year,
it's going to be a blower.
Get your freaking tickets now. Yeah. It is going to be massive.
Get them early.
All right, hey.
Well, so before we transition, what do you guys want to see with the Apple Cup? Because I think you're seeing a lot of emotional reaction right now where it's like, hey, we're never playing them again, those bastards, you know. And I think that the president, athletic director level, there's probably not that level. I think we,
yeah,
you know, but we also have a reality of we're scheduling a Big Ten schedule. Like, maybe yeah. we need to take a breather. But what do you guys think?
Well, so a couple things. One is I'm bummed that this year isn't in Pullman. I think that would have been a really interesting storyline, just like we play in Corvallis.
Somebody
this year.
Would have died.
Yeah,
like, yeah, getting out of town would be
tough. Really interesting. That would have been a really interesting twist on college football. You know, I think the way it's probably going to go is realistically, we might take a break for a couple of years. Who knows? Probably a neutral site type of action, like Colorado plays Colorado State in Mile High. Go down the list. Iowa plays Iowa State. All that kind of stuff at the beginning. Of the
Georgia
year.
Plays Georgia Tech.
Exactly. But the problem with this is at the beginning of the year, right, it's just going to feel a little less impactful, right? That opportunity for the Cougs to upset their older brother, douse their opportunity, or that year when the Cougs went to the Rose Bowl, that year in our generation, you know, like the fact that they won, they sealed that deal in Husky Stadium.
With
like,
the
what
punctuation
a
mark, yep.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly, exactly. And so we're going to lose out on those types of things. It's not going to feel the same.
What if
but
we
I think
did?
The same. They've got to still keep it going, I think.
What if we did Labor Day weekend, opening day,
yeah,
every
exactly.
year?
Exactly. That's
I mean,
Colorado,
starting
Colorado
the
State.
Season. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think there are ways to make it fun. I mean, I've yeah. heard people suggest, I don't think the Cougs would want to do this, but I've heard people suggest doing it at a neutral site in Seattle, Lumen
yeah, at
Field.
At Lumen. Mm-hmm.
You just sell half the side to Wazoo and half the side to UW. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know that they'll want to do that, but I mean, you make it a true, like, almost like a Red River shootout kind of thing.
Absolutely. I think that's got great possibilities, and there's precedent on that. That's that Colorado State game in Mile High.
I'd love to see it. First things first, Wazoo needs to be a going concern in football and find a conference in the next year.
Yeah,
like they've got big concerns, but it's a funny thing. It's that one where like even when you're like last year when we were watching them against Wisconsin or whatever, and you find yourself cheering, you're like, hey, let's go, like go Cougs. But at the same time, if they lose at the very end, you're laughing your ass off. It's the funniest thing in the world, you know, like how quickly you'll turn from rooting for them to just being like, oh, like
they cooged it.
This year's gonna be massive. Get your tickets early for the Apple Cup. And to our little brothers, as Law Dog said it, thank you for penning that open letter. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
Woof.
Nope. Touchdown Washington.
Yep. Washington State University.
Nope. Touchdown Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope. Touchdown Washington.
Yep.
Los perros esquimales están arriba. Y hoy, los patos de Oregón bow down to Washington.